You're listening to the Be Fox and Be Frank show. It is our last show of February. We're getting into the home stretch here in college basketball season. A lot of big games this weekend. Last week as a whole, let's get right into it. I wanted to start with, as one of our winners of the week, the winner of maybe the game of the year in Michigan, Ohio State. We obviously didn't have Gonzaga Baylor. Wish that we could have. We still can in the tournament. But in terms of regular season matchups, 3 vs. 4, Michigan versus Ohio State, extremely underrated announcing team of Kevin Harlan and Bill Raftery on the call. And this was just an extremely well-played game on both sides. But for Michigan to win on the road at Ohio State, I think bumps them up into the big winner of this week.
100%. I mean, this was a very for all the people out there that constantly say college basketball isn't that great a product. I mean, look at this game and you cannot tell me otherwise. This was fun from the start. Teams hitting some big shots, making some big stops defensively. Really not a lot of foul calls, which has been an issue in college basketball for seemingly the last decade. And guys just making plays. I mean, this is the first time, surprisingly, that these two teams have been top five teams when they played each other. They absolutely lived up to the billing. Like you said, they had the A-plus team on the call, and they gave them an A-plus game. So everything about it was perfection in terms of like what college basketball wants. As we start getting into late February, early March, to remind people, like, this is what we missed last year. This is what we're getting back this year. This is what you need to be tuning into.
And great PR for the Big Ten in general.
Like,
Ohio State doesn't drop off at all from this. They played extremely well. We're matching Michigan shot for shot for most of the game. Dwayne Washington especially had a great shooting performance. But, like, Big Ten has this brand and reputation as being just a grinded-out conference. Most people would be quick to remember, you know, Penn State-Wisconsin matchups where neither team breaks 40 points. But they are going to be showing this game a lot. When you think of the Big Ten, think of a game played in the 80s with lots of people hitting outside shots and quality offensive basketball being played. Quality all-around basketball, because Iowa plays good offense, but we like to pick on them for other stuff.
Yes, every once in a while. It was a fun game, and I think when you look at these two teams, you can clearly see the top three of the Big Ten, and it's a pretty large gap between them and everybody else at this point, because Michigan, Ohio State, and Illinois have just played so much better and have played so well of late, especially.
Yeah, conference making a great case for 2-1 seeds. It'll remain to be seen how the last couple weeks of the season end up, but certainly if the season ended today, I think the Big Ten would probably nab 2 number 1 seeds after, of course, Baylor and Gonzaga. But yeah, they've been playing exceptionally well. And Michigan, no ill effects from the COVID pause, clearly, at this point. They had a slow start in their opening game against Wisconsin, but, you know, they've still only lost one game of the year when the barn was truly magical. No longer the case. But
R.I.P.
They've got as good a resume as anybody, obviously, not names. Again, Gonzaga and Baylor, because that's what happens when you don't lose.
Yes. People do forget that going undefeated matters.
Who's another one of your big winners of the week?
It's got to be Florida State, right? Like, they make the jump to the top of the ACC. Virginia looked to be on their way to another regular season title. They slip up against Florida State. They slip up against Duke in a real head-scratcher, and all of a sudden, Florida State just had to put away a pretty down-and-out Pitt team, and they're back on top of the ACC, making both of us look very smart.
I don't hate when that happens. But we talked about the beatdown of Virginia last week, which was, again, just very satisfying on all accounts. Always fun watching Leonard Hamilton's team play. And, yeah, I mean, at this point, it's just being opportunistic, because despite what Josh Pastner will try to tell you, the ACC is not good. This is not like an 11-bid league. They are typically the best, if not one of the best conferences in America. It seems to go back and forth between the Big Ten and the Big 12 has had a couple great years as well, but it's not that this year. And everybody was chasing Virginia. Virginia really planted their flag when they blew out Clemson, and everybody's been chasing since. Florida State really changed the narrative when they blew out Virginia head-to-head, and that's clearly left the Cavs reeling a little bit. So they're unable to get out of the funk against a bad Duke team, missing one of their best players. So they compounded the error, Florida State continuing to take care of business. And yeah, it's a completely different league than where we stood not too long ago.
The script has completely flipped. And I mean, I wouldn't say Virginia's in trouble, because I think just the style they play, like we've talked about, keeps them in basically any game against anyone they could potentially play. Obviously, this season's exception is Gonzaga and probably Baylor. But again, the ACC, not a good conference. It's not, you know, everybody beating up on everybody. There's a lot of teams that really aren't good. And then there are some okay teams. And then there's Florida State and maybe Virginia. Like I said, I can't stick my, you know, can't say either Virginia or Virginia Tech are a certifiably good team yet. I'm still waiting on that. But Virginia had the opportunity. They had to control, or they got to control their own destiny, and they fell apart here.
Just have to work in the fact that you're doubting Virginia Tech into every show at some point. Yep. But I think if anything that we is the big takeaway from this week is that, Virginia is still a pretty flawed team. And I think they were the big beneficiary more than anybody else of the conference being down. Like, they had no business being as high as they were in the polls. They were not the seventh best team in America. They never have been. They just happened to be playing a lot of not great teams in their conference. So obviously that has been kind of put to bed, and Virginia will fall back closer to where they actually should be in the national hierarchy. But, you know, even though we're happy for Florida State that they are, you know, taking the inside track in the ACC, kind of talked about this already, but there's not anyone in this conference you look at as someone who can win national title. It's just
right.
Not there. Like, even with Virginia technically being defending national champions, they really were never that team at any point this year. Even the couple extremely dominating performances they put together, we quickly found out, you know, that in retrospect, they were not as impressive as they might have initially seemed, because the teams they're beating up on are getting beat up on by everybody.
Yeah.
So they're a fine team. Florida State happens to be a lot better. So that's just kind of how it is this year in the ACC. Nobody really else of note.
Right.
A team we've been kind of hard on, but is making a big push later in the season, Kansas.
Yep.
Now won 5 in a row. Most recently, big win over Texas Tech after, also just owning Kansas State for the millionth consecutive time. Just there are a lot of like weird things about the COVID season, but the notable thing you can throw around about Kansas is that they've got more Big 12 wins than anyone else this year. They're at 11. Nobody else has more than 9. And obviously that is due to them playing more games than anyone else. But, they can't always control that. So we'll give them credit for it. But it's, again, their record doesn't look the greatest overall. And I think, you know, we've talked about what they're missing from last year, and ultimately they're never going to be able to get quite over that hump and be the team that they were last year with
right.
with the roster they currently have. But and Bill Self is not a bad coach. This isn't his first rodeo. He's slowly figuring out how to work with what he's got. And it's been a grind in Big 12 play, certainly, because there are no easy games for the most part. Like, everybody is going to be extremely physical and challenge you at every opportunity. Certainly Texas Tech did. Kansas was up for that in the last game. But no, they're solidly back in they're not in conference championship contention. That went out the window a while ago, but they are back
right.
in, I don't know, call it the penthouse, call it whatever you want. When constructing your building or first class on Jimmy Dyke's plane within the Big 12. Obviously it's Baylor's league, but of the challengers, they have put themselves very much right back into that second tier comfortably.
100%. And I mean, sure, there were games against Iowa State twice and Kansas State in this 5-game winning streak. I think the win over Texas Tech speaks volumes. And obviously they've got a prove it week this week. They've got Texas on the road and then Baylor on Saturday, which is a game I think we've all been looking forward to since the first matchup where the Bears really took it to Kansas.
Yeah. And obviously that helps. I won't lie, but beating Texas Tech is the kind of the capper on the winning streak is really what validated them.
100%
for me, but yeah, I mean, it's the middle three are not great, but you bookend it with Texas Tech and then a double digit win over Oklahoma State, who when they want to be are a very dangerous team.
Right.
That's at least putting Kansas in a better spot than they were just a couple weeks ago when we mm-hmm. were really writing them off for, I mean, doing much of anything for the rest of the year. So it's not everything is magically solved, but the perception and kind of the national standing Kansas in, and even just in the Big 12, is significantly better.
Yeah, they needed this. Otherwise, they were in jeopardy. They weren't going to fall out of the NCAA tournament like some of the other blue bloods, but they were certainly in danger of slipping down the seed lines and getting into like a 6, 7, 8, 9 range. And that would have been fun to see an 8-seed Kansas play, you know, Michigan in the second round, but that's not where Kansas is. I mean, even this year, like we said, losing the talent they did, they are still a top 25 team.
Right. And no one is more thankful than Kansas that Kentucky and Duke are having the seasons they are having, because in a normal year, there would have been
right.
a lot more panic widespread about kind of the state of Kansas basketball. But like I said, kind of the other blue bloods struggling really took a lot of that negative energy away. And, you know, they have righted the ship in time, because Kentucky and Duke have notched some solid victories. So it's good that Kansas is still keeping the heat off the program.
Right. Because that's what they need right now.
Yeah. Also in the States, we talked about them last week, but Wichita State.
Yep.
Huge win over Houston, and that does wonders for their large hopes. Because before, I think we're in agreement, it was hard to see the American getting in more than one team unless someone not named Houston won the conference tournament. Now, Wichita State is really in pretty good position. They are, I mean, the fact that Houston has just been dropping games that they have absolutely no business dropping, and talk about them a little more in losers, but now Wichita State's in first place in the conference.
Yeah.
They've just been hanging around, and now beating Houston in a big-time win for this team this season. They're alone in first in the American, and they're controlling their own destiny at this point. And it's, as we keep saying, hard to believe they're in this position given how the offseason went, how the season kind of was expected to go. But this is now a team that has a great shot at making the NCAA tournament. And I think in doing so and how you've played this year that you've found your next head coach.
Yeah, that was the big point that I was going to make. Like, can we take the interim tag off of Isaac Brown? The job he has done is tremendous. I mean, I know I went on about it last week. This win just caps off exactly everything that I had said. I mean, Houston is a significantly more talented team, regardless of who they've lost to transfer this year with Anthony Mills. But Houston should win this game running away. Like, this should be a double-digit easy win for them, and Wichita State comes out and gets a huge win. And now, like you said, they are in the conversation for an at-large bid. Who knows, though? They could simply just win the American and get the automatic bid at this rate, because there is no team in this league that they haven't beaten.
Yeah, and I mean, there's really no one that should strike fear in them at this point. Like, you could argue Houston, but they've already beaten them, so it doesn't matter. And no one else in this league is just a quality enough team, and that's why this win over Houston was so important, because nothing else in this league could have carried anything remotely close to the same weight as that victory. But yeah, it's great position to be in now. 5 wins in a row, but I don't want to say Houston's the only one that matters, but in the eyes of the committee, probably is the only one that matters.
Right.
Outside of just you didn't lose to those other teams.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's I mean, they're in a great position right now. So you gotta love it.
You do. It's good for you know, they don't have noted jackass Greg Marshall at the helm anymore. So you can kind of cheer for them now.
I mean, that is one of the like the best parts of this, is like that he can't enjoy or take credit for it at all.
And right. It's a completely different roster.
Yeah. That warms my heart. So I kind of went overboard on the positivity last week, so that is all I have for winners.
I'm in the same boat.
Yeah. Do you have anybody else, or is that it for you too?
No, that's all on the winning side.
Let's do it. Okay. Start us off with some losers.
How about just all the bubble teams? Like, every bubble team this weekend had a game that they shouldn't lose, and they lost. Not every single one, but a vast majority of them. There was a tweet going around, I think it was Reddit CBB's account that had it, and they were just marking L's on every single bubble team that had lost this weekend, and it was something along the lines of 14 of them. So really not an ideal week for the bubble teams. I will get into some specifics in a little bit, but VCU, Seton Hall, Minnesota, Indiana, Connecticut, Stanford, Ole Miss, all with losses this week on the bubble.
Yeah. I mean, out of those, I'll start with Minnesota, because I had them on I want to say they're the most excusable out of most of the bubble teams this weekend, because they had.
And I forgot St. John's.
Yeah.
That was a tough one. But yeah, Minnesota.
But Minnesota was playing in the barn, sure, but they were playing against Illinois, who absolutely had their number in the first meeting, had it again, playing as well as just about anybody, but happened to be sharing the limelight at the top of the Big Ten with two other very good teams in Michigan and Ohio State. But, I mean, that's just a horrendous matchup for Minnesota. I understand you could also be alluding to the loss they had earlier in the week. That was one that I was surprised they didn't get, as you well know. But it's they're losing their grip in the tournament very, very quickly. They're on life support for the tournament. I think overall you could argue that in a sick, twisted way, teams on the bubble were winners because they all lost. So nobody.
Yeah, there's definitely that argument, because it's like, if everyone's losing, is anyone really winning? I think the answer is yes in some cases, but like the teams that won to put themselves into the bubble conversation are teams that you don't want getting in it. It's North Carolina, it's Duke, it's these big brand names that if they're going up against a Minnesota or a Maryland or a VCU, you know who the committee is going to take 10 times out of 10. But don't worry, they don't pick for storylines or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, not all losses are created equal. That's the other point.
Right.
But I mean, I think teams like Maryland and Minnesota are still, I mean, not in great shape. They're still in good shape. I don't think either.
I think Maryland's in better shape than Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, Maryland, like, they got lucky. They got to play Nebraska twice in a row. That'll inflate your one loss record. And if people do no other digging, just make you look like a much better team than you were the week before.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly got them off of just being one game above 500. But yeah, I mean, like the Duke and Carolinas of the world, they'll jump a VCU. I don't really see them jumping, you know, Maryland, Minnesota without a legitimate reason to. I think it's more of a power conference versus non-power conference. Cause I mean, Maryland people, I'm sure, will tell you that they're like some kind of basketball brand. And you're being disrespectful, but I don't spend much time around them. But I think that the biggest loser for me out of all of the bubble teams was Minnesota this week. Just legitimate opportunities to improve their stock in a couple of different areas. You know, one, just getting a road victory, and then, you know, could have had a win over teams currently in the NCAA tournament field, went over on that. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're just losing ground quickly. Like, you can point to, we're the only team that's beaten Michigan, but you need to do more than that at the end of the day. And if they're not going to play like they did to start the season at the Barn anymore, as Illinois kind of showed, then it's all unraveling very quickly.
Right. It was. So, yeah, I guess I'm going to say losers still, because these teams lost games, and like, if any one of them had won, they would be in an infinitely better position than they are currently or were coming into the weekend, but they didn't. And
right. Yeah, it is better to win games than to lose games. I think that is elementary.
Let me check your math on that and get back to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't do any favors to the conversation of like the bubble is as weak as it's ever been or whatever bullshit conversation people love to have every single year.
Yeah, I will say when it is getting like this year's Duke team in the conversation to be in the tournament, it's like we've gone too far.
That was another thing I wanted to do, is like prognosticators or whoever trying to push Duke into the tournament field. Virginia is their only good win. Look at their resume. Where is another good win? Name me one. And you cannot. You simply cannot name me any other good wins. I don't know where they are in terms of the net, but let's see.
But then you can also like really go down a rabbit hole after you.
They're 56 and they have two quad three losses. That is as many quad one wins as they have.
Yeah, that's not.
That's not a tournament team.
But you can keep going down that rabbit hole and the same things. Like, all right, Duke's one good win is over Virginia. And then you look at Virginia's schedule. Who's their best win at this point? Like,
it's true.
I keep coming back to the Clemson game looked impressive at the time. It's really not. Like, that was the thing that vaulted them up. And if you really start to pick it apart, there's not a lot to really get that excited about, unless you're like just going to get giddy over beating UNC or Pitt or NC State or Syracuse.
100%. Like, I mean, this is kind of like the problem we've seen annually with some of these power teams, is why are they in the top 25 if they played nobody good?
Yeah. I can feel the momentum building for another wave of hate coming against Virginia. Only for them.
I mean, Virginia is ninth in the net somehow.
Yeah, well, I mean,
they have a quad three loss, which was San Francisco. They're 3-4 against quad one teams. Like, how?
I don't know. They're a good academic school out east, so that puts them in the same.
Then again,
with Colgate.
Colgate is 13, so yeah. Here we are.
There we go. There we go.
Houston, who has just lost two games in 2 weeks to, well, East Carolina was a bad loss, and Wichita State up in the air, but they're sixth in the net. So I don't really understand the net rankings this year. I haven't gotten them from the jump. I think it's just another failed metric, but here we are.
It seems far too based on one loss record.
Yeah.
Like that's the perception I'm getting. And
Houston, and margin of victory as well.
Yeah, and Houston's another one you can really pick apart because the win over Texas Tech was a good one, but
they played an American schedule.
That's it. And if you keep like Wichita State is the one that like maybe not a bad loss at this point, but anyone else you're losing to in the American, teams they have already lost to, the Fighting Frank Hates, they're struggling to stay above 500. East Carolina is the worst team in the league and will be forever and ever until something changes. But for some reason, you look at Houston, and because they have such a gaudy one-loss record, everyone just kind of rushes over that fact. It's not like we're talking about when Gonzaga, unfortunately this has kind of gone away, but Gonzaga would always get hate for having in some words, bloated one-loss record because they would just be running through the WCC unblemished, maybe drop one to like a top 20 St. Mary's BYU team.
Right.
Me hating on Houston is completely different because the WCC almost every year is better than what the American is now. And you don't see Gonzaga dropping games to like Portland. That's what happens when Houston is losing to East Carolina or Gonzaga dropping games frequently to like Loyola Marymount or San Diego or any of those teams. Like that is pretty much
San Francisco in the old Frankie Ferrari days.
Well, they had some good teams. They had some solid teams, but when you're losing to like Tulsa's and East Carolina's or honestly, if you drop another game to anyone, I don't think I can have them in the top 20. They finally realized that, hey, maybe we made a mistake not going after a big fish like Gonzaga, potentially beefing up the schedule a little bit. So now they're adding an additional out-of-conference game in Western Kentucky, who's solid, obviously not a Gonzaga, but more solid than a lot of the games they're getting within league play. So I'll give you a little credit for that. And then South Florida, you have to win by like 40. And then the fight in Penny Hardaway's, which there's a little name brand recognition there, but that's still a bad loss if you happen to drop that one. So that like they've got great PR still somehow. So they're still in very good position for like a top three seed, but I don't really see much to truly justify that at this point.
It's preseason perception. Again, we talk about this so often, but it comes down to what people think the team is going to be to start the season. And then because they haven't lost that many games, they continue to stay at that overinflated level.
Yeah, and I mean, like, to their credit, they're an elite defensive team. They defend very well.
Yes, which has been the case for years.
Yeah, but you have to also win basketball games, especially the ones you're supposed to. Otherwise, it's just like – otherwise, we get into kind of the territory of college football a little bit where, like, clearly Houston is a better team on paper than these other teams, the Americans, who are just going to ignore when they lose games, like – all right, then why play them in the first place?
Absolutely.
I don't want college basketball to become everything I hate about college football.
And that's like the point of the NCAA tournament, though, is the fact that
right.
if we just played these games on paper, I mean, we'd have 4-1 seeds in the final and just have those teams play it out. But then we wouldn't see these massive upsets that we've been getting in the past couple of years.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter as much in basketball, because even if Houston is overseeded as they appear that they will be, they will
have... It's an opportunity for somebody. Yeah,
they'll still have to go through the entire field. If anything, comes back to expand the college football playoff.
So in the loser section, we get back to expand the college football playoff.
Yeah.
That college football playoff is the loser here.
Yeah, sucks and we hate it.
We do.
Rocky Top was another loser I had.
Tennessee was a big loser.
They are free falling. On the one hand, you have to say, like, hey, Kentucky is athletic and, you know, this is who we thought they might be in the
pre-season. Talented.
But Tennessee just looked, I mean, completely dead for large stretches of that game. And even if you were to say, like, this is what we thought Kentucky would be, Tennessee was still, I thought,
yeah,
a better team even in the preseason. And they just have not shown that at all. They have allowed a few teams to surpass them in the SEC, and it's hard for Rick Barnes to get any sort of consistency out of his team this year. Like, they had a great win, one I thought, like, could be kind of getting them in the right direction when they really took it to Kansas, but they've not used that momentum really well at all in the weaker SEC.
That's the biggest point for me, is the SEC is certainly not having a great year this year, and Tennessee was already expected to be one of the two best teams in the league. We sit here on February 22nd recording this, and they are 8-6 in SEC play. I mean, that is bad and simply unacceptable if you are Rick Barnes in Tennessee. I mean, Alabama loss is understandable because the Crimson Tide have shown that they are the best team in this league. Florida has been a very up and down team. Mizzou, again, up and down. Ole Miss and LSU, I would say, are fringe tournament / bubble teams. LSU, obviously, the safer of the two teams, but none of those are losses that they should have. Like, these are games they should be winning.
Exactly. And I mean, it's frustrating because I did really like this Tennessee team in the preseason. And I mean, again, they'll be a tournament team. There's still a chance that they can put it together and go on a run. But this should have been like a 2 or 3 seed pretty comfortably with all the talent they had on the roster, kind of like what we talked about Creighton a couple weeks ago. We really haven't seen Tennessee put it together consistently. They have had some very, very good games. Like, again, that game against Kansas was not a great look for Kansas, but it was a phenomenal look for Tennessee, because that is the type of team they can be, just pummeling a consensus top 25, top 20 team. But it just hasn't happened with any consistency. And yeah, if you're going to be like a top 2 seed in the NCAA tournament, you have to just run through this year's SEC. There are a handful of quality teams, but you cannot be dropping some of the games you are. Like, you obviously can't be losing by 15 to Kentucky. You shouldn't be losing to Ole Miss. You shouldn't be getting challenged by Mississippi State. It's just it's frustrating. And I'm not even invested, and I'm frustrated. Yeah.
I mean, you've simply got to do what Alabama's doing. Like, this is what we expected. What Alabama's doing is what we expected from Tennessee.
Pretty much, yeah. And I mean, credit to Nate Oates, but not as much credit to Rocky Top.
Unfortunately.
Who else you got, losers?
Piggybacking off of the bubble teams quickly, I just put the Big East. All three bubble teams lost, with Seton Hall losing to Georgetown, which isn't – it's after – it's a game they shouldn't lose. It's not as bad a loss as people think it is, because Georgetown is still a quad two team, so it's the same as losing to UConn. UConn lost a big opportunity game against Villanova. So, again, nothing terrible there, but they did have James Bouknight back, and he looked good, but the rest of the team just looked inept at times, and that was the big problem. And then St. John's screwing over the whole conference by losing to DePaul, really not even looking like they were in the game for a vast majority of it. And again, like we said, what would this DePaul team be if they didn't have the longest COVID pause of anyone in the country? You know, where would they be at this point? Because we've seen flashes of how good they can play and how good this team can be, but we have not been able to see it consistently. And I think now we are starting to get a little glimpse of what that team is.
Exactly. And I mean, it was good for DePaul beating St. John's, if not the rest of the Big East. That was a little bit of a head scratcher considering how on fire the Johnnies have been most of the last month. I was only able to follow along Seton Hall from your Twitter account because for whatever reason, CBS Sportsnet just is not a thing on my cable package.
You're lucky.
It's like the one channel I don't get.
I fucking despise CBS Sportsnet, first and foremost. They had Bryce Aiken starting. He isn't even dressed because he's hurt. So 0-1 already.
That's tough.
Then for the first 5 minutes of the game, they couldn't get the score bug to work. So there was no score on the screen. So it's like watching basketball in 1987. It was brutal. Their broadcasting duo was horrific. Everything about that channel is just amateur, and I cannot stand it. So it's crazy how far off CBS, the main, you know, mothership network, is can be from the lesser than. Like, they don't give a shit about it, and it's very obvious.
I mean, Fox and FS1 are pretty much in lockstep for other Big East and Big Ten games. So yeah, I mean, it's a big drop off in quality from, you know, just an on air talent and everything else perspective, which
right,
is not ideal. And then quality of game, I'm sure that rubbed off onto it a little bit.
God, you know what? It just was what it was at that point. So not a good weekend for the Big East.
I'm so far still correct in my prediction of Indiana finishing the season 1-4, but we flipped the results, so there's that. Actually, I think I misspoke on last week's show. I think they also have a rescheduled game against Michigan State again at some point.
Oof.
So I can't wait to see how that gets lost. But Saturday was not fun.
I agree.
Yeah, so they're playing Michigan State now on March 2nd in between Michigan and Purdue. Which is great.
3 out of 4 on the road to close the year. Only home game is Michigan.
But like this should have been a helpful thing because, you know, the schedule didn't look that appealing. And then you've got Michigan State at home, very winnable game, worst Michigan State team in my lifetime. And then you add another game against them on the road for a free win, but can't be confident about that now. It is very aggravating to me when you build a team that just sucks ass offensively, and your excuse or your narrative change around that is we're building a defensive team, you know, pack line, all that good stuff. You know, we're just going to be frustrating for offenses to go against, and then you give up 52 second half points to, again, the worst Michigan State team of my lifetime, and it makes me upset again. So I really just feel bad for Trace Jackson Davis, like, cause he scored almost half their points. He went for 34-9, and there was one guard who played, who hit a field goal all game out of five guards played, one hit a field goal. That's Archibald to a T.
It was not fun to watch that game, I'm going to tell you that much. And I'm not even, you know, my rooting interest is for the show, obviously, for the program we have here. And it was just not at all, like, you just wonder what they were doing at certain points. Like, the offense was just so bad. I mean, how many times do they throw the ball out of bounds trying to enter the post?
A lot.
It would.
I mean, you just have stopped that after out of bounds. They just do it a lot.
It was not fun. The only thing I can say is at least you didn't let Georgetown shoot 63% from three and 50% from the field.
That would have been upsetting, yes.
I can confirm it was.
All right, so yeah, we're doing great again this week. So I mean, that was the prevailing thing, though, all Saturdays. Like, obviously, Big East and Big Ten had some big casualties, but then you have, like, Stanford losing to Washington State. You have Ole Miss losing to Mississippi State. And, like, I want to say gimme games, but, like, these are yeah. games you have to have, like, if you're pushing to make the tournament. So I don't know. Nobody wants to play in March Madness this year.
Apparently so.
It's my takeaway.
No one wants to go to Indiana. That's what it is.
It's a tough place to play.
It is. It's not for everybody, that's for sure.
They're going to be allowing a very, very small number of fans. So maybe people are worried that the Assembly Hall atmosphere will be back.
It's absolutely a concern that you should have. I don't disagree with that whatsoever.
That's what I tell myself. Did you have anybody else? I'm out at this point.
I did. I had Texas. They blew a 19-point second half lead, had about seven chances in the final 2 minutes to win the game because West Virginia did not seem to want to win it, and they couldn't do that. I think it just hurts the validity of Texas as a, like, second weekend team. I don't think anyone thought this team was a national title threat, even when things were going well. I don't think anyone had the inkling or the expectation of them to make a Final Four plus run. But now I genuinely wonder, like, can they be a second weekend team? I am not convinced of it, because they would need to win a game like this, and these are the games that they do not seem to be able to put away.
I'm starting to get a little more confident that Big 12 play is making us doubt all of these teams that aren't named Baylor. And once we get into March Madness, playing against, you know, anyone else, that'll change and they'll have a lot of success. But yeah, it's hard to look at what Texas is putting on the court and feel confident right now. There's obviously internal strife that that brought West Virginia back in the game a little bit and kind of helped spell the beginning of the end, but still a very entertaining game. West Virginia can make it rain, and they want to. And, like, I think they have done so much better than I would have possibly expected without Chibwe.
Yeah.
That, like, to still be one of the best teams in a very tough Big 12 is very, very impressive. Deuce McBride, Sean McNeil, both doing an electric job on the perimeter. But Texas still had multiple chances at the end to win that game. Shaka drew up some great action on both their final two plays, and especially the last one. Like,
right.
If you're going to miss that, you cannot
miss it short.
You can't. Yeah. You can't do that.
I would rather see you hammer it off the backboard, like absolutely slam it off the backboard, than miss it short. I mean, I understand there's a hand in his face and maybe even, like, partially blocked.
Yeah.
But you should still be pushing. Use the backboard, kids. Like, what? It's the oldest saying in basketball, but use the backboard, because it is so important, especially at a stage like that. But the fact that they draw up a play for Andrew Jones to once again put the dagger in West Virginia, and he gets a beautiful look. I mean, if he would have hit that, it would have been almost a carbon copy of the play they ran before. But like you said, really nice plays. Like, Shaka gave his team a chance to win. Sometimes you see just horrendous plays drawn out of a final timeout, and that certainly wasn't the case here. It was just execution.
But I mean, that's just seemingly every game in the Big 12 this year, you're going to just go up against a guy like Bob Huggins or or Lon Kruger or Bill Self or Scott Drew. Who is a good coach?
Noted good coach.
Yeah. I'll throw him in the same class as all those other guys. But yeah, I'm starting to talk myself into that because we have been at different times hard on just about every team in the Big 12. And I think that's probably a little due to just they're playing a lot of other teams that are among the 15 best in America. And there will still be Big 12 teams upset in March Madness, but I think the majority will have a lot of success once they are happy to be out of conference play.
Yeah, it's hard to see these teams struggling. You know, even when they don't play well, they're still hanging on with some really high quality competition. So, you know, if people were losing to Iowa State or Kansas State on a consistent basis, then I'd be worried for the league. But I mean, it's as strong as anyone.
That would be very concerning. Yeah, that's what Houston does.
Exactly.
Like Iowa State, Kansas State, I would be fairly confident either of them taking on East Carolina. But yeah, I mean, no one has let their guard down playing the little guys. So that's some sort of credit to the league, and also the bottom two teams just really suck. Some combination of the two.
A little bit of everything going on there. But Texas was the last one I had.
Heat check sim is underway.
It is.
It's been a frustrating year. We've both snagged recruits in the top 51, but in terms of on-court action, you have once again vaulted from unranked into being the top 10 now.
I'm number 12, I believe.
Okay. It's decent.
It's okay. The problem is it's right before Big East play. My team looks like they can beat anyone, and then we get into Big East play, and we just absolutely fall apart. A number of very nice wins, including over number 11 Georgia, I would like to mention. But yeah, we picked up some solid wins. We beat Rutgers, which is huge.
It's
back. Back on winning ways in terms of that rivalry. And the letdown game wasn't Fordham this year. It was St. Pete's, and we won that one by 4. So just excited to get out of the non-conference with one loss and see my record finish with like 12. So
it's big.
This is where we're at.
Yeah. I had been ranked for much of the season. Here's the frustrating thing. For me, is my team in the sim is a lot like real life Missouri, just no idea how to handle success. Lost the exhibition game, which I was happy about because that meant a guaranteed win in my first game of the MTE, which happened to be against number 3 Arizona. I was playing in the PKA, like,
yeah,
fuck me, right? But I played. The second, third, and fourth ranked teams consecutively. I beat 3 and 4, lost to 2. So feeling great after that, got up to 11 in the polls after starting at 25th. But outside of a single 2-game winning streak, I have won or lost every other game all season, which is remarkable considering my team has been better than several of these teams that I'm losing to. We're sitting at 7-5, still the second best SOR in the SEC. So I'm hoping my record gets inflated a little bit once start playing some of these conference games. But yeah, I had hoped with the way the season started, 2 top 5 wins, that I'd have an easier time against the rest of non-conference, but not to be. So.
Your start to the conference schedule, Ole Miss, LSU, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, concerned?
South Carolina is solid. That's the only one I could potentially see losing. But again, like I couldn't really see myself losing to Kansas or Tulane.
Here we are.
So But Tulane's ranked now, so good for them. They were excited about that.
Ole Miss looks pretty good this year. 10-2, second best defense, 42 SOR.
Yeah, there's a lot of struggling teams in the SEC though. Like Alabama, Arkansas, Missouri's down. Even Kentucky's down a little bit, but there's a good amount of teams that are still. I don't know if the standings up in front of me, but there's a good amount of teams that are, you know, in the hundreds of SOR. So
yeah, Arkansas, Alabama, Auburn, LSU has 288, Mississippi State, Missouri, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt all 100 or worse.
But as you remember last year, I lost to the two worst teams in the conference around beating all of the ranked ones,
which right.
Took me out of the tournament. So I could be on the same track this year. But I think right now, if the season ended today, we would both be in the tournament field. We just have to work on getting back up and hopefully getting a decent seed. So I still haven't won a game in the NCAA tournament. I've been in the same 7-10 matchup twice. Just on opposite ends, lost both times. So we're trying to turn over a new leaf. Just trying to catch Seton Hall in an all-time win percentage.
There you go.
It'll take probably like 15 more years minimum.
In overall win percentage, I think we are overall 107-46 right now as a program.
Oh yeah, never mind. I will. After this season, I will finally be over 500 all time.
You can probably catch us in terms of NCAA tournament wins. We only have three, so just a little run. I mean, your team is more talented than mine this year. That's the thing to watch out for.
Yeah, we'll see. I never really overachieve. It's always underachieving. But
I want to say Kentucky's best player is the guy that left
your former guy.
Yeah,
Derek Chrysler.
Yes, Derek Chrysler. He is a 15.4. He is their best player.
Wow, that's a scrub.
Real shame that he got away.
Yeah, I'm sure you could use them now.
We could, but alas.
Oh, well, hopefully you at least hold on to a top three or better spot in the Big East.
That's a goal every year.
How many ranked teams in the Big East are there right now?
I want to say zero outside of me.
Well, you, okay. Yeah, there's only one in the SEC right now, so. Could be the year.
Let's see. Yeah, it's just me.
Wow.
Providence was the only one that at any point was ranked. And they were number 16 in week two.
So everybody's chasing you. That's big.
That's not where we like to be.
Target on your back.
Yeah.
All right, well. Hopefully that continues. We'll have another positive update next week. Obviously, this season is going rapid fire, so Eli can wrap it up by the time real March Madness actually starts, which should be a fun sprint to the finish. But we are also nervous about that. Both our teams still squarely on the bubble. Hopefully more positive news next week because we did not have anything at all this week to report on. But still, we endure and persevere and believe and every other positive word I can think of. But we'll see. Maybe it'll be a meltdown next week. You'll have to see when you tune in. But whatever the result, we will see you then as we continue the march towards the NCAA tournament.